are now worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, give me another amen.
Amen.
If you believe that the word of God is entering your heart today again, give me an amen.
Amen.
And I declare to you that that will be your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will give you light. He will give you insight. He will make your prayers powerful by reason of revelation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is, you will know the right words to use in your prayer, and you will see results when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats, share the word, just discuss the word of God a bit, and then maybe we'll rise up later on to say a word of prayer. This is our school of prayer again. Let's open our Bibles. We'll start from where we have been reading again and again. The book of Exodus chapter 4 is where we'll begin from. We have been talking about the rod of God, depending on the version of the Bible you use. You may call it the staff of God. Now, we know the story of how God met Moses in the wilderness. And then God gave him his staff, the rod that was in his hand. Let's just go down quickly to verse 17. He said, "You shall take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs." That is, God said to Moses, "As you are going, I'm giving you a rod in your hand. And with that, you are going to perform signs. You are not going to use your own struggles to perform signs. You are not going to use the things that you have learned, all right, to perform signs, not the methods. But you are going to use the rod, the staff that I've given into your hands to perform your signs." And we see an example of that sign in the book of Exodus chapter 17. Let's quickly go there again. The people went to battle against Amalek. And you see, if you go down from verse 8, you see that Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So in verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us." Yes, it's right to have physical methods. "And go out, fight against Amalek." He said, "Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. Now, before I read this, let me just remind us again, before I read it further, I would like to remind us that Moses had an army for Israel led by Joshua. They may not have been a professional army, but they had men that were supposed to go to battle, and Joshua was their general. That is, he understood that you have material things around you. He understood that you will go to school and earn a certificate. He understood that you will learn a skill, all right, as a profession. He understood that, all right, you will have money in your pocket. There are many physical things around that you will have. But it was crucial to Moses that Joshua never, all right, or Israel never put their minds upon the material things that they had. So he said, "Joshua, you go out to battle, choose the men, go out against Amalek. However, I will station myself on the top of the hill with the rod of God or the staff of God in my hand." And then, so now, back to where we were. The Bible says, Moses, in verse 11, it came about that when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. That is, Joshua had his strategies. Joshua had his physical weapons. But victory was not decided by how well he used them. Victory was not decided primarily by the effort that he put in. Victory was decided, first of all, by the position of the hands of Moses. And that was about the rod that he was carrying, not just his physical hands. And we see that the Bible says, let's just continue reading. "And while he let his hand down," that is, the first portion, he held up his hand. The second one, the hand fell down by themselves. I don't know whether you're getting the point here. It was not when he put his hand down It was when he allowed the hand to come down. Please, you have to see the technical, the words inside there. One, he put up the hand. The other one, he let the hands down, which means gravity was working upon the hand. Discouragement was working upon the hand. Economic stories were working upon the hand. No other things were distracting the hand. So he let the hands down. He did not try to put the hands down. Something pulled the hand down. But as soon as that happened, even though it was not a deliberate thing on his part, Joshua began to lose the battle. His certificate stopped working. His skills stopped working. The connections disappointed him. The strategies failed. 75 laws of power did not work again. Are you getting my point? Why? Because something dragged down the hands of Moses. Moses did not try to put down his hands. Something dragged the hand down. It was gravity. It was discouragement. Are you getting my point? It was the stories around the family pressure. Your grandfather is calling. Your wife wants to talk to you. Your children are not feeling well. All of those things dragged the hands down. And then Joshua began to lose the battle. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. It happened that when he let the hand come down, that Amalek prevailed. But my brother, my sister, sometimes you get tired of carrying your hands all by yourself. That's why the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Do not forsake the gathering together of one another. Yes, sir. A man has to encourage his brother. A woman has to encourage her sister. Are you getting my point? Yes, sir. People must encourage one another. Are you getting me? There are times, I remember once when somebody was ill and the wife and I were talking on the phone. I said, you go and sleep. Let us do the praying. Are you getting my point? Yes, you go and sleep. Let us do the praying. You need somebody to help you. And don't forget, somebody should, you must be a help to somebody also. What happened here? Moses, his hands were down. They were heavy. He had used both hands. So Aaron and Hur, they took a stone, gave him to sit down and supported his hands. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So that as a result of this, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You will notice that no detail was given us about the strategies in battle. You will notice that no detail was given us about when Joshua's hands were down. Are you getting my point? The Bible didn't give us that. He spent all the time talking about the position of the hands of Moses. Why? That was the main source of victory. That, you know this. Understand, let's quickly read it. It's so important Christians get this point. We must get the point. Listen, all the devil wants to do, okay, is to bring your hands down. He can't push it down. He can't force it down. It's to distract you and allow it so that you will let the hand come down. I said something the other time. Sometimes Christians pray, the devil, he will not take my money. Listen, don't pray stupidly. The devil doesn't spend money. He doesn't want it. He's not interested. He has more money than you have. I hope you get my point. The devil has more money than you have. Go to Mafia Don. Mafia Don, one of the richest men in the world at the time, all right, was Pablo Escobar. Forbes had to list him as one of the billionaires. The man was worth over $2 billion selling cocaine. El Chapo, in recent times, he became one of the richest people around also. Forget that thing. The devil doesn't want money. If he needed money, he knows where to find it. He will call El Chapo, send me $500 million. El Chapo is his guy. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? He will go to Italy, talk to a mafia don. All right, Don Palladino, give me $500 million. I got something to do in Africa. They will give it to him. It's not a big deal. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't want your money. If the devil takes your money in quotes, God allowed him to test your faith. What he's looking for was your faith. This man killed all the children of Job. He was not satisfied. Why? He didn't have anything against those boys. He took all the money that belonged to Job. It didn't satisfy him. He was not interested in the money. He was going after just one thing. The faith of Job. What am I going to say? What does the devil want from us? Put your hands down. That's what he's looking for. He doesn't want your money. He wants you to put your hands down. That word that you are lifting up is a problem. He wants it to come down. That's why we're talking about the fight against unbelief. I talked about how to What's the name of that series? How to overcome the devil in your life? Something like that. I explained that you must know what the devil is looking for before you start praying. The devil, you won't get my money. He likes that prayer. Because when you are fighting for your money, he's able to get the other thing that he wants. He doesn't want your money. This is what is most important to the devil. Satan wants us to put our hands down. That's all. There's another point I want to make. Let's read one particular story again. Because you see something here. Moses spoke specifically to Joshua. You go to battle, I will go to the top of the hill. Now the Lord wanted to teach the same principle to Joshua. Go to the book of Joshua chapter 8. There's something we want to see there. As I'm preaching, I'm going to repeat myself again and again. But it's not I. It's the Spirit of God working with me. Until we all get this point. Alright, Joshua chapter 8. Please quickly open to it. Now what I want to bring forth here is just the lesson that God gave to Joshua. Now before we read it, alright, remember the story that happened in Ai when they were going to fight Ai or Ai, whatever you pronounce it. Remember that first time they went to battle? Now listen to this. They made some tactical errors. They said it's a small city. So they said we don't all need to go up and fight. Now when they got there, things went very badly for them. The Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 7, the men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then we know what happened. Joshua went and prayed, and eventually they found out that the real reason why they lost the battle was because Achan had disobeyed God when he went to Jericho. All right. Now, please, I started that by explaining the fact that they made a tactical error. They sent just a few thousand men to Ai because they felt that it was a weak city. But they lost the battle. A natural person that wants to explain will say to you that the battle was lost because the men were not enough. Are you getting my point? And you see another thing that happened. They repented, of course. Punishment came upon Achan and his household. And then in chapter 8, the Lord now said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and his king just as you did to Jericho and its king. And you shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. He now gave him a strategy. Set an ambush for the city behind it. Now, first time they went with about 2,000 to 3,000 people. Second time, verse 3, Joshua rose up with all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. Then he planned his ambush from verse 4. We don't have time to read everything. Now, what I want to bring out is that God looked at this and said, Joshua, don't make the mistake of thinking that you have more men. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have a better strategy. He said to him simply, now, remember, Joshua was the commander of the battle. But this time around, the Lord removed him from the battle. And see what the Lord told him to do. You see that? Let's just go down to verse... Now, I'll get that in a moment. Now, if you see, from that verse 12... Let's start from verse 11. The Bible says, then all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side. And he took about 5,000 men, set ambush. Verse 13 now. All the army that was on the north side and his rear guard on the west side of the city, Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley. Now, you see, they had a good strategy, I'm bringing out. Then in verse 15, Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled. Then that way they drew the men of Ai out. Okay? Verse 17, so not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who had not gone out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. Now notice verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the javelin that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. The men in ambush rose quickly. Now, I read all of this to point out the fact that they had a very good military strategy. And it worked. But God made it clear to him, it is not going to be because of the strategy. This victory is not a victory of strategy. This victory is a victory of the javelin in the hand that is pointed in the right direction. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? The Lord said to him, stretch out the javelin that is in your hand towards I, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand towards the city. The men in ambush rose quickly from their place. And when he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. Now, I want you to notice something here. Let's just start from verse 24. Now, when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and all of them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000. All the people of Ai. Verse 26. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand, with which he stretched out the javelin, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. I want you to understand something here. It was not just, okay, a signal, move. No. It was a spiritual sign. God was telling him, listen, this time you have a very good strategy. You have. Before you made a tactical error when it comes to warfare. The plan was bad. You thought the city was small. I remember I did my youth service in a Nigerian battalion, all right, battalion of Nigerian army. And I used to gist with the soldiers. And they told us that if you're going to attack an enemy and they have 1,000 soldiers, you plan with 3,000. That you like to overwhelm your enemy, you understand? You don't want to get there and be discussing who will win. Apparently, that's what they were taught as part of their military strategies. First time Joshua went to battle, he made an error. He did not take enough men. And things went badly. And then, this time around, they made corrections. Now, let's forget Achan. Let's forget the sacrifices and the repentance. Let's forget the punishment on Achan. Let's forget the purging. Let's look from a military strategy level. This time around, what did they do? They took enough people. Came out with 30,000. They plotted. He had enough, 5,000 people, enough to draw the people of Ai out of the city. He had enough camped somewhere else. My God, the strategy that was good. The strategy was very good this time around. Except for one thing. God said, this boy will soon miss the point. If he had rushed into battle, life would have been hard that day. But God just said, hey, come. You, stand here. Point your spear. Point your javelin in that direction and keep that hand up. If you bring the hand down, we know the story from Moses. With your 30,000 men, you will run from this battle, though. The temptation is that if they start running, Joshua will rush into the battle to go and command. That's the human temptation. You are getting what I say here. That's the human temptation. But the fact is that if he had done that, they would have lost some more. When the battle was rough, what the man was supposed to do was, check, is my spear pointed at the correct angle? It was not the time to run to the battle and say, let's add more men, all right, to the battle. Let's add a general who can command. What is Eliab doing there? Eliab, that's not how to command. No. It was, listen, pick up your javelin and make sure it is pointed in the right direction. The Bible says clearly to us here, this man did not allow his hand to come down. Joshua did not withdraw his hand, with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. I want to just emphasize that to us again as Christians. Remember, let me just remind us of this. What's our own, what do you call it? Rod. What's our staff? It's the word of God. We read that from the book of Jeremiah. He said, what do you see? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And God said, you have seen correctly. I am watching over my word to confirm it. That is, the rod of God is the word. He said to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. With these words, you are going to break down. You are going to uproot. You are going to pull down. You are going to overthrow. With these words, you will build and you will plant. God said to Moses, with this word, all right, with this rod, you will go out and you will do battle. You will do signs. Now, I want to say something to us again as believers. We must never forget it. I said something before. You see here, physical things will happen. One day, one brother shared something with me. He said he was thinking, why do men lock their doors and all of that? After all, safety is of the Lord. Are you getting my point? He said, then he read the scripture. That the Bible said, except the Lord watches over the city. The watchmen are awake in vain. He said, okay, which means it is right to have the watchmen there around the city. But we know that safety is of the Lord. You are getting my point? That is, natural things happen. You will have to make plans for your business. You will have to go out at the appropriate time. You will have to employ good staff. You probably apply for a good job. If you are in school, you should aim now for two reasons, all right? One reason is because excellence is the will of God. You should aim to get a very good grade. You set your, if you are just coming, entering into school, you have a good time, first year is still in front of you, you set your target of having a first class. Not because you want to use to get a job, even if you do, you don't want a job. It is simply because excellence is of God. You set your target high. Lord, this is what I want to do. Like I said the other day when I was preaching on Saturday, I had a classmate, the best student who was in my class. We studied medicine. I'm not sure the boy finished house job. He made up his mind. This syringe I need to, will not carry him far. He's not a believer. I'm just going to say, you understand? And if he finished house job, I'm not sure. But let's assume he did. But he definitely didn't practice medicine beyond that level. So I'm going to say that. So we're not talking about get it so you can get a good job. Even unbelievers get the certificates and throw them away. However, excellence is of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's of God. It's of God. Now, so that's one reason we must strive for excellence. However, and that's what I'm talking about. We do all of these things. Like Joshua had a good military plan. But we know that victory does not come from that military plan. Which means, and how you know where your confidence is in, all right, is in how you put effort into whatever it is. Those days when we're in school, when exam is coming, some people will disappear from fellowship. You won't see them again. You won't see them again. Why? He said, listen, if you are not a student here, you won't be going to fellowship. Make sure that you remain a student. What they are trying to say is that fellowship is a waste of my time academically. Are you getting my point? Spending time in church is a waste of time. Now, many of those people, they've wasted all their time watching films. When they now want to catch up with time, it is my fellowship on campus was very disciplined with time. All right? And towards exam time, we don't have many activities. We had only 4 hours a week. Yet, people will abandon those 2 hours to go and read some more. What does that tell you? No matter the faith they claim to have, they don't believe that the word is the source of victory. That is a matter of fact. Some people, when they get to final year, they abandon fellowship. In fact, I still remember one guy very, very well. Very dedicated from first year till third year. Final year, we did not see him until the very end. Why? He was trying to get a first class or a second class upper so he could get maybe a good job later on when he will leave school. What am I teaching again today? That is not where victory is. That was why God said specifically to Joshua, come. Moses understood it. Good enough. Moses was not a warrior. It was Joshua. He said, Joshua, you go to battle. But let me assure you, I'll be defending you behind. The more important person in that battle was Moses, not Joshua. With all the effort Joshua was putting in, if the hands of Moses went down, he was going to fail. What am I saying? The source of your victory, where you will win from, is not what you are doing outside, though. It's what you are doing inside. Please, let me say it again. If you like, read from now till tomorrow as a student. If your rod, if your staff is not positioned properly, you will fail. If you appear to have succeeded physically, you have just been set up for a worse failure later. If you are a preacher, the same thing. There are preachers who spend all their time networking. Papa is coming to town. They join the community to welcome him. Why? So that if Papa gets to know them, they can become exposed. If you get that kind of exposure, it only makes your falling bigger. You know, if you commit sin, not only you, nobody knows you. God will forgive you privately. But when you're a big man on television, your social media will kill you. That's what happens to those who are exposed before their time. That is what happens. No matter, look, many people don't, that is in business the same thing. You're very disciplined with waking up early, getting to the office by 8 o'clock, which is good. Discipline is a mark of Christianity. Order is a mark of Christianity. We believers, we are disciplined in what we do. Your front desk officers should be neatly dressed, speak nicely to their clients. These things are important. Nobody's saying they are not. Joshua should go to battle. Joshua should go to battle. However, if because of all of these structures you have up there, they say, okay, in the early in the morning, let's declare the word of God. Say, there is no time. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
We have to be open before. So, listen to me. Let your customers wait. They will come back. If you have to declare the word, please take time out to declare it. If you will listen, you will know what is important to you by what you are ready to sacrifice. That's what I'm going to say. Many people, you know what they like to sacrifice is the word time. They can't, look, they will not sacrifice other things. So, meetings in the office, they must not miss. Meeting a client, they will not miss it. But there is a seminar that's holding, which you are going to discuss the will of God concerning your life. When is it? No, there's no time. Business must continue. What is happening? Moses, your hands are falling down. The hands of Moses are coming down. That is what is happening. That's what is happening. No matter how good the strategies are outwardly, if the hand is not in the proper place, failure is the portion of the child of God. And that's what I've been saying again and again. Just using these stories to emphasize it again. God had to pull Joshua back. Say, Joshua, don't make this mistake of thinking you will correct the battle, the problem in Ai by having a better military strategy. No matter what the military strategy is, victory is of the Lord. And he said, what do you do therefore? Come behind, take your javelin and point it as a sign that victory is of God. And Joshua was careful to keep the hand up. I believe he had learned from Moses. Remember, it was Moses' right-hand man. He had learned, Moses told him, said there was a time the weather changed. All right, during the battle, I don't know what happened. 12 of our men fell. They almost killed one. I had to rescue him. At that time, 3 of them began to run. I don't know what was pursuing them. Moses said, what time was that? And it was around that just afternoon. That was when my hands fell down. Okay, your hands fell down. Stop that joke. He said, no. Aaron was there. Aaron quickly put it back up. And I noticed that a few minutes after, the men that were running suddenly turned around as if the spirit possessed them. They returned to battle. He said, that was when Aaron kept my hand up and held the other side. And we were able to keep the staff up. Joshua said, praise God. There was a time when that man ran away. He said, I was distracted by a bee that was. What am I saying? The source of your own victory in life is the word of God that's kept up by your mouth. Listen. I said it before, let me say it again. Everything you say, you hear. Either it's Fulani Herdsmen, Niger Delta Avengers, the president is not feeling well, or tomato crop failure. No matter what you hear, all of it is to change what you are saying. You now start discussing something else. There was something my wife, I discussed about it here some time ago when I discovered it. But you know, actually we are backsliding a bit from it. I started it that time, but we are falling behind. We should start it again. I said, and let me say it again, you must create a habit of just talking the word of God. What do I mean? Let me give an example. Sometimes I stay with my friends on the phone 1 hour. My wife did this, then my wife did that. Then Ronaldo did this one, and Cristiano did this one. And did you hear that Federer did this one? And then Nigeria's stock market did this one. And NEPA did this one, and PACN responded like this. You can be there for 1 hour. And what are you talking about? And it's nice, geez, nothing bad. You're talking about the events around and all of that, and just talking and talking and talking and talking. None of these things can God confirm. Grace is not released to any one of them. They are commentaries about life. Some of them are not bad, though. They are not gossipful. Some of the men are not really gossiping, they're just talking real things. We're just talking. But even that talking of real things does not release power. The Bible says, let the meditations let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. Now, that's very important. Very important. The Bible says, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. Bear that one in mind. And when you read that one in Malachi, when they say those that fear the Lord spoke of one to another, what happened is that some were speaking and saying that it's vain to serve God. But they didn't say that. They turned around and were encouraging one another in the service of God. What I want to bring out is that the Bible said the Lord heard. You should create a habit of just keeping the rod up while discussing. What do I mean? Somebody's not feeling well. This is how to talk. I mean, possibilities. What did the doctor say? Have they done the test? What was the PCV? Is it true that one of the relatives died like this? How much is the surgery? We can talk like that. Ah, you have not slept for 2 days. The next 30 minutes, we are discussing this problem. And we are not releasing power. And one of the things I found out recently, but I told you I had some quarrels with some of my brethren. Many times people are, they say, pray, why should we pray? The other day, this one happened in the north. The other day, they tell you all the problems. They now say, do what? Pray. And you know the truth? The prayer doesn't work. I'll tell you why it doesn't work. All you have is the knowledge of the problems and the fear that was ignited. Then you rush to prayer. There was no discussion on the plan of God concerning the situation. That prayer does not work. There's a way you lift up the rod of God that, under such circumstances. Somebody is sick. Oh, this fellow is sick. Eh. But what does the Bible say? I don't know whether you're getting my point. The Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. Now, you've not talked about the pain. You've not talked about the situation. You have not said anything. You're just talking the word of God. Then you start reciting testimonies. The other time, they said this man was sick. But he declared the word of God. At the end of 2 weeks, the doctors couldn't find anything that was wrong. Are you getting my point? That's meditation that is acceptable before the Lord. You see that in Nigeria as an example. Many things going on. You can still analyze everything. And that's why I read news, all right? I read news. But you know, I hardly ever read news analysis. All this back page Guardian, back page This Day, back page Punch, back page Sun, back page. I'll give my personal advice, stop reading them. And that's not a joke. Don't waste your time. One, the men don't know what they are talking about. 9 times out of 10, they don't. But that's not my reason. My reason that they are trying to form your opinion for you, you don't realize it. They are controlling your life. Oh, God, you don't get it. When I pick a newspaper, most of the time I read online, I just search for the headlines. I want to hear facts. What I mean is that federal government has announced that from next week, fuel price will be this because it will be fully deregulated. That is fact. I don't want to hear an analysis of the conspiracy theory behind it. Because men always have conspiracy theory. You wonder where they are going. That is why I don't read news analysis. I hardly ever do. Maybe in a year, probably read like twice, in one whole year. Why? Because they are producing meditations that are not true. People look at, and when you see, when they say, Guardian said this, Guardian didn't say it, one man said it. I don't know whether you get my point. Sometimes they say, Newsweek said, Newsweek did not say. One man said, and it was published. That's all. This doesn't even go through what they call peer review. Newspapers, articles don't go through peer review. They are not scientific publications, so there's no peer review. People just say what they want to say. I remember we'll sit down at home and be reading it and imbibing it. Kola Awosho said, whatever entertains you, enters you. You see that I've seen somebody was telling me that I read these things and everything they say is true. I said, how do you know? You see, it has so entered you. You believe everything they write. We're talking about that day. At the back of this, there was a woman I was talking about, one of our church people. That everything that they say is true. I said, how do you know? I said, I don't read it because everything they say is false. She was giving me things, telling me what's happening in the country. I said, how do you know? Read the back of this day. I said, it's all a lie. Now the fellow who's writing it has taken you over. You actually think it's true. What am I going to emphasize? One important way we keep the rod up is by just talking about the word of God all the time without discussing the situation. My wife and I started it that time, but we're backsliding from it a bit. I'm happy I'm reminding myself again. That is, this time you're not talking about any other thing more than God's word. So, when a man is not feeling well, what is really going on? oh, is the devil trying to make it look like the word of God is not working? But the word of God actually says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall... You're not praying, no. You have not said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness. I command this sickness to go. No. We are just talking. We start from Genesis. Do you know the first time man began to fall sick was at this point? But this was a sacrifice. You're just talking scripture. And then when the sacrifice came, which was a foreshadow of Jesus that will come, you know, when this man sacrificed this, God forgave him, and this one happened to him, and he recovered. Remember, there was a time Ezekiah was sick, and then he prayed. And after Isaiah told him he was going to die, and then God had mercy on him, and they applied the cake of figs onto the boil, and the man recovered. It was not the cake of figs, though. It was the power of God. You understand? Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Do you know that the fact that God is with somebody is shown by how he's been healed of all his troubles? You know, you're just talking. There was a time Paul was stoned. Do you know? They thought he was going to die, but he did not die. Why? Because there was a spirit that was working inside him. And that spirit gave life to his mortal body. You have not prayed about anything, no? But tell these stories. And it shall come to pass at one time that death will be banished, sickness will be banished, and we'll live before the presence of God eternally, with glory, with health, with everything. You're just talking the word of God, though. Do you know there was a time I was going to a particular message? He said that scripture in that Romans chapter 8, he wasn't talking theory. He was just explaining that if the Spirit of Christ that raised the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he will give life to our mortal bodies. My God. Are we believers? Yes, we are believers. Do we have life? We have life. Why? Because we are in Christ and life is in him. Oh, amen. Let's give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. We haven't prayed about anything. No. Believe me, we do that constantly. That's immunization. Do you know we talk more about armed robbers than about divine protection? Think about it. Think about it. We talk more about, do you know armed robbers are now back in town? Eh? Yes now. They went to this part of town the other day. And they attacked a man at midnight. They beat him, broke his hand, broke his left head. And stole 500 naira they saw on him. Wicked people because of 500 naira. Say now, wow. They will not say something which is not true. What I mean is that it's true, but there's no faith. He say, hey, it's God that will protect somebody, which is a way of saying that, man, we are dead. It's like when some clowns finish making a movie, they say, to God be the glory. You know, you know, there's nobody. Okay, that's it. We end it with, hey, it's God that will just keep somebody. Meanwhile, we don't believe in it at all. We are afraid. Our steps after that time is dogged with fear. What am I going to say? We keep the stories around up. We don't keep the word up. How do you keep the word of God up? Just talking about it all the time. There's another scripture I want to read. The book of Matthew chapter 7. I'm talking about the word of God. What I'm talking about, last time we talked about the fact that we should lift it up and keep it up. Now I'm talking about how to keep it up. Until Joshua experienced total victory, his hand was up. And that was his source of victory, not the military strategy. If you like, go and learn. You know, some people like to collect degrees and acquire, you know, go for courses. Courses are good. I'll tell you again today, they are natural things. Amen?
Amen.
Victory is of the Lord. Is determined by where the hand is kept, where the rod is positioned, because that is the real source. If the rod is up, you know, let me tell you something. When the rod is up, if God needs 30,000 men, he will tell Joshua, take 30,000. Then Gideon will take 30,000. Say, to where? I don't know whether you're getting my point. God will say, to where? Come on, remove them. They will whittle down to 300. The same amount of victory. No difference. So, the Bible says it's the same with God to save with a few or to save with a multitude. That is, he's the one that's saving. It's what he wants to use that's the issue. Are you getting my point? And believers, we must learn to focus our eyes totally on the salvation of God, not the method that he used last time. He uses different methods. We just have to learn to keep our eyes on him all the time and keep the rod of God lifted up above our lives. I said we should open somewhere, right? Where? Matthew chapter 7. Very good, very good. It's something we all know very well, but just I want to read the Bible. The book of Matthew chapter 7. You know, he said in verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, let's just stop here. Now, you know what the Lord Jesus was saying here? There are three principles of getting results. There is asking. There are times you just simply make a request. Let your request be made known unto God. Then there are times you seek. And seeking has two things. Sometimes you seek to find out what exactly has God said about the situation. Maybe you did not know that before. Sometimes God says, listen, I have heard you. Now I want you to get off from here and go to Zarephath and go and seek for a woman there. Are you getting my point? That's the person I have told to help you. So the word of God is guiding you while you are making your research or while making your search. Then another time he now said, there are times in which the answer comes from knocking. You are before a door. You are before a hard place. You are not seeking now. You are found. Are you getting my point? But the thing is inside and is hidden. And then what do you start doing? Start knocking. And I said, if you have an amplified rendering, it says, knock and do what? Check it. If you have an amplified Bible. It says you should knock. Amplified. Yes. Thank you. He said, to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be what? Open. You know, I was meditating, and my mind just went to that. That what exactly was he saying? Then I remembered Moses. Now, I want to draw an analogy from this, all right? I'm not saying this is the only interpretation you can give it, just my own analogy. God said to Moses, also in that Exodus chapter 17 we're reading just now. He told him the people they needed water. Water is in that rock. Are you getting me? So what do? Knock. Thank you very much. I like you quickly cut on to that. He said, okay, you have asked. Fine. I have given you a word. Now, what do? You get to the rock and do what? Knock. With the same rod. It's not praying time now, but what? Knocking time. Now, what am I trying to draw from there? That again in life, even though something appears hard, God says, if you knock hard enough, and you knock long enough, it will open. The problem is that people are not persistent in knocking. They don't keep the rod raised up. I said something at the beginning, that what we do, or what happens in life, is that so many things cause our hands to drop. We are very busy. Are you getting me? Yeah, we are very busy. There are so many worries. And then so much news. So much news analysis. These things, what they do is to crowd our hearts. We don't know when our hands drop. You get home, your husband comes back, or you are the one that comes back, and then you have to fill in the whole day of all the bad things that have happened. You know what happens? The hands drop. That's what is happening. And then you turn on the TV, you spend 1 whole hour watching Calamity News Network telling you the latest calamity in the world. You know what's happening? The hand is what? Dropping. We all fall for these things, even me preaching. Believe me, we don't spend enough time with our rods lifted. What did he say here? He said, when you get to the hard place, what do? Knock with that rod. Knock. In fact, I believe later on in Numbers chapter 20, what happened was that Moses had thought that the knocking was about the stick. He did not realize that stick represented something. So God told him that, okay, this time around, when you get there, this is where I begin to worship your stick. They don't know that the stick for me is just a sign of where my authority is. So when you get there next time, don't use the stick. What do you do?
Show them exactly what's inside the stick. This time around, look at the rock and do what? Talk to it.
What was he trying to explain in effect?
That the stick is a sign. Now, I'm drawing this out of these things. Of the working of the word. So when something is hard in life, what do? We speak. Now, listen to this. You don't speak your own words. I need to emphasize that.
That is where I differ with many of the doctrines on positive confessions that we teach.
You don't speak your own words.
What do you speak?
Look, you need to just read out scripture without making sense with it.
Some will say, as I'm about to enter this office, I'm going to get a job. They're going to give me a job in the name of Jesus. They'll give me a contract. They will help me. They will help me. They will help me. One of my friends once, it happened to him. His landlord didn't like the fact that I was a believer and he used to do night vigil in his house and all of that. So he and his wife, they decided to do something about it. You know what they did? They prayed. And they declared that when the man sees them, his heart will soft. They declared that the man is going to help. They believed God. When they got to the man's house, they got to the gate. The moment the man found out it was their own, told them to lock the door. Yeah, they thought the car was their own. Listen, they were confused. Like, did we not pray? Now, you're getting what I'm saying. The moment they, you know, of course, they had confessed everything. The moment they got there, and the man saw who it was, he told them to lock the gate. He didn't let them in. Of course, that is all this prayer, you know, the way we those of us that have no faith can be. In the name of Jesus, he sees my face. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, hallelujah. If favor is going to begin to radiate. The man did not let them in. Drove them away from there. Let me make a long story short. The man, I think the next day or a few days later, he just decided that what is going on and drove around town and just saw a house that was being completed and he parked. And he said, who owns this house? Let me make a long story short. There are 4 flats in it, far better than where he was coming from. And he just got the last one that was open. God kept it waiting for him. I hope you get my point. I don't believe you need to prophesy your own desires. No. Like I say all the time, we just keep the word lifted up, no matter the circumstances. Some people, when they fire them from the job, they come to church. I know in their mind. You know how it happens? In their mind. God will not let this happen. I've worked here for 3-4 years. My tithe has been regular. God will not let it happen. My tithe has been regular. So when they are praying, in their minds, God, you know the deal. You will rebuke the devourer of sack. I have done my part. Now do your part. Did you go and leave? Where were you when they were sacking me? That is not the word of God. I keep on explaining that to believers. When God wants to lift many people up, the only way he can do it is through sack. He said, I don't know how else to help you. I just have to have you fired. Do you know why? You love your job and you are so diligent and dedicated. If they don't sack you, they will promote you. If they promote you, if they promote you now, you think you are doing well. You won't know that you are doing 5-fold. And we are going for 100-fold. What's your problem? So one day, the boss that loves you, God said, look, I won't make just Peter betray Jesus. So the boss that loves you will travel. 6 months. He went for on course. Then they will bring the one that does not know Joseph. He will come to the office, be there, and then that day will be the day you came late. Not because anything was wrong with you, but because there was, as we were coming, one tanker fell. And they blocked the road that is carrying inflammable products, so nobody should pass that area until they've evacuated the area. And that's how you were now delayed, and you came to the office 45 minutes late that morning. And the man does not listen to any excuse. The reason being that he came with a no-nonsense attitude. They told him, people in that place, they are indisciplined. Don't be angry. It is God. You know, Jesus said, when you see storm, do not be afraid. It is I.
You want to explain, the man says, I don't want any explanations. And that's it, you are sacked. If that has happened to you, of course, no matter, you go to church and go and pray in the name of Jesus. It will not stand. The enemy that wants to take my job, I've told you, Satan doesn't work anywhere, so he doesn't need your job. Don't get this impression that he's looking for your job. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need more money. You know, we said it before. He's very rich. All the mafia dons are his friend. All the Illuminati boys, they are working for him. If he needs money, he will call Snoop Doggy Dog. So don't worry about it. So don't, he doesn't need your money. So don't pray those days. There are a few scriptures that you just go there, declare over the office. As your boss is talking, you are looking at him and you are smiling. If you see a sack letter, don't cry over a sack letter. Rejoice over it. Oh, there are many scriptures. It takes away the first to establish the second. That's the shortest, most potent when you get fired. I think for a week, stop believing in the devil. Believe in Satan, but don't believe in the devil. You don't need to believe in the devil for a few weeks. Try for 1 month. Some of you say, what do you mean? What's the difference between Satan and devil? I will explain. Forget the devil for 1 month, but remember Satan as much, and all the time, as much as remembering God, remember Satan. You say what? Let me tell you. Satan cannot do anything. That is the name of the tempter. That's why you need to remember Satan. Satan is what? The tempter. Devil is the killer. He's the one that executes judgment. He's the one that destroys. But it's the same person, but different roles, all right? Hence, different roles. Christians remember the devil too much, they don't remember Satan. If anything goes wrong, they may call Satan, but it's devil they are remembering. The devil now spoils my thing. The devil now kills something. The devil now destroys this one. That's what they remember. They don't remember Satan. What is Satan? Satan is the one that says, curse God and die. Satan is the one that says, turn these stones to bread. You know what I explain? Forget the devil for a while. Christians have magnified him too much. They think he can do things he can't. The truth is that he cannot. He cannot. Why I said remember Satan is that avoid temptations. That's what I mean. Avoid pressures to do things that are displeasing to the Lord. Avoid those pressures. That's what I mean by remember Satan. The only thing he does is to tempt. He comes to Job, curse God and die. That is the voice of Satan. He entered into Peter and said, you will not die. Why will you die? And Jesus looked and said, get behind me. Who? Satan. There's a reason why I'm telling of these things. Many of us see every affliction in our lives as Satan and as the devil. The devil now came. The devil, now start praying. The devil, I want to tell you, you can't steal it. He knows too. What's your problem? He knows. Leave him for a while. Don't think about the devil. You get a sack letter, look at it, and say, I am not afraid. It is not the devil. It is whom? The Lord. The devil does not take people's jobs like that. Christians are too, they think they should fight the devil. No. No. Don't worry about the devil. You can stop Satan anytime. He's a tempter. Once you have stopped Satan, the devil has been stopped in your life. If you stop Satan and you keep the word lifted, you have ended the devil. You know why I'm emphasizing this? Many times Christians see God and they are rebuking the devil. God fires people. He fired Joseph out of his father's house. I hope you're following my point. He fired Joseph out of his father's house. If I say this, it will make some wonder. God breaks people's hearts. You love him very much. Forget it. God said, I'm taking him. You won't marry him. Forget all of these things. In fact, the Bible says clearly, the Lord loves a broken heart. Some of you, the only reason why you succeeded in life is that she ran away. If the girl had married you, your ministry has ended. I'm not kidding about it. Some people are still, you are still angry. Since 2.5 years ago, you are still angry. Instead of you to rejoice. Listen, you know, we give the devil too much power. God does not only give, he takes. And when he's taking many times, it's painful.
and you loved him. Because you forget this thing. I love a broken heart. Just forget all of these things. Your heart don't break. Don't worry. It's good. I will mend it. After everything I did for this girl, she will see. She won't see anything. Forget all of these things. Remove your eyes from the honestly. You know, what I'm saying is that, listen, it's not the devil. God takes away jobs. He takes away relationships. Just destroy it. Just scatter it. And when that happens, we're talking about lifting up the word of God. Are you getting my point? There are simple words that you lift up at such times. You go to Psalm 139 and start declaring, the days of my life, before there was yet any one of them, they were all written in thy book. It's simple. You are declaring that, you know, Christians were always pushing devil, instead of us to lift up the word of God. When they say God pushing the devil, God, we're afraid of the devil. God is not afraid of him. If he comes around and says, well, anything happened, he says, I'm just a pass. That's all. There's no discussion about it. That's it. I've just have you considered myself as Job? Yes, I saw him, but I don't go to his house again. Okay, let me give you a job. Go and remove everything he has. So the devil now goes there, removes everything Job has, and Satan now comes to Job and says, won't you curse God and die? That's why people in the Old Testament, they hardly knew. No, they did not know the devil existed. Yeah. The closest you see is the reference to the word Satan. But the devil, the way we know him, they did not know he existed. And when you see the word Satan, you see it has to do with, you see that, and Satan incited David to number Israel. When punishment came on David for numbering Israel, who judged? No, answer me like you are here.
Lord.
Using who? An angel. David saw the angel. You know, we magnify the devil too much. Let's forget him. Just forget him for some time. Watch out for Satan, though. You know what I mean by Satan now? Temptations. Temptation. Watch out for that. What am I saying of this thing? So you get the sack letter. You lift up a rod upon that sack letter. You don't cry over it. Don't cry. That one is forbidden. That one is forbidden. You don't start weeping and mourning over a sack letter. You know what you must do? You rejoice over it. That's the law of God. The law of God is what? You rejoice over it. And then you pick up the rod and hang it over it. There are so many of them. So many. So many. The simplest one, I say, he takes away the first to establish the second. There are things that don't even talk about the letter at all. Things like, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. Oh, the very common one, but just as potent as ever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You declare simple statements upon that letter. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Simple words. You've not mentioned the name of your boss. You've not mentioned the name of your office. You have just lifted the rod of God upon the sack letter. Listen, forget the devil. If the devil says, I won't walk here again, the devil doesn't care whether you walk there or not. All the devil cares about is, will you deny God? So they tell you that after all the seed that you sowed, they still sack you. The word of God doesn't work. Listen, the word of God works. It's the word of your pastor that doesn't work. Are you getting my point? The word of God works. A man said, plant a seed. By next week, you are going to see promotion. You planted a seed. The next week, you saw demotion. Now you are angry. It's time to rejoice. What did I say? It's time to rejoice. Listen, God could not. Listen, God. There are things God doesn't do. All right? Or let me say, he can't do because it's against his plan. God could not raise Joseph up until he was fired from his father's house. God could not promote him far until he went into prison. In fact, I remember one joke I read the other day. The man that was preaching, he said, Joseph, he went to prison before he became prime minister. He said, Nelson Mandela, he went to prison before he became prime minister, head of state. He said, Olusegun Obasanjo, he went to prison. He said, now you will pray, God, my own prison.
Oh, the Lord is good. I don't know. I really didn't plan to speak for this long. The talk just keeps coming. I hope I'm helping somebody. Listen, in the midst of everything, there's just one thing we do. We keep that word and we lift it up. Like I said, don't forget that habit. Talk the word of God. Your landlord serves you quit notice. He wants to remove your peace. You shouldn't let that happen. There are times you get home, the letter is there, you know it to disturb your wife. Don't even bring it out. Hide it. And bring out the scripture. And start talking about the provisions of God. And the plan of God. You start discussing. You're not talking about your problems at all. You're feeling pain. You're supposed to tell your wife so you can pray. Don't talk. Don't talk so quick. Many of the pains you're talking about, when you tell your wife, it incites fear in her. And fear is very terrible. Fear will screw down what you could have removed easily. So don't start by saying, sweetheart, do you know, every time I wake up in the morning, my chest has been paining from this side. Ah, heart attack! She's checking. That's how her friend's husband died. Then she remembers that, her uncle. She remembers Stephen Keshi. Amadou Shaibu. Honestly. And then the former FHA secretary of Oyo State, the same thing. All of them. Heart attack, heart attack, heart attack. The same week, you now tell your wife that when I wake up, my chest is paining me. You say you are wicked. You want to kill somebody. I'm not saying your chest is not paying you, but don't, you know, the TV cashier has brought heart attack to the forefront now. You know, honestly, 3 FA people in 1 week or 2 weeks, your chest now paining you in the morning. You now wake your wife up. Honey, my chest. Okay, you want her to do the dying, Abby? No, you don't start with that. I'm not saying your chest is not paining you. It is paining you. But what do you start with? Bring out the scripture. There are words we have spoken about long life. I am a doctor, right? I know physiology. It still marvels me that hearts beat. That they stop does not disturb me. They should stop. All the hearts here should just stop. And I won't be surprised. They should stop. Which machine just works like that? And so that gives me confidence. That is not beating by chance. Yes, yes. That's what gives me confidence. So if I want you to beat for longer, I talk to the owner of the heart. I say, Lord, let this heart beat for some more years. Is there anything I need to do? He said, stop worrying. All right, Lord. Sleep some more. I told you it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. That's going to stop right away. And be kind to your wife. Many men don't know that God doesn't listen to them because of the wickedness of their hearts. You are kind to your mother, kind to your secretary in the office. For good reason, so your mother prays for you regularly, does not harass your soul. The secretary tells you, good morning, sir. Oh, you see, have you eaten? Welcome, sir. It's only your wife that comes and say, have you come back? Sit down, let's talk. That's the reason why you are not kind. We know. Apostle, that is the reason. You know, the person, you know, one day I told my wife something. I said, do you know, I thank God for your life, you did try, oh. But if I add all the disrespect I get in life together, everywhere else, I put your own beside it, with all the one you did try. she's a good girl. Are you getting my point? I said, see, I think about it. If I go to the office, no, one day she followed me to work. One day one of you just followed me to the office. As soon as I climb the stairs like this, my office is a very long corridor. As I'm going in, you start seeing students, you say, good morning, sir. Welcome, sir. Adults, welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. Oh, it's a good morning. And when you see the caliber of people that you proceed to greet on the road, grandmothers greet me, welcome, sir. And I stand like this and I call the young doctors, hey, Dr. Eni, come. And he runs down. Take my weapon to the office, tell someone, do you understand? Yes, sir. And wipe that smile off your face. And say, sorry, sir. And you stop smiling. Are you getting my point? That's office, kingdom world, don't go, look at that one. Pastor, that one, did they fear? Say, may I not come on cover for their head? They fear. You see, prophet. Yes, prophet. Don't provoke.
provoke the anointing.
You can imagine you now reach home. My wife now says, I bet if you don't want to eat, give me.
The last 48 hours, nobody.
Ah, God, you know, honestly, guys, you know the way it is now. Apostle, you go look and say, ah, Father. Oh, Father. The Lord is good. You know, that's more statement than you. You just shake your head.
That's why you have not been kind to your wife. That's what I'm going to say. But in the name of Jesus, you must be kind. Amen?
Amen.
But your prayer not the past ceiling. No. Are you getting that? No, if you don't treat her well, the Bible says your prayer is bouncing. You get my point? That headache you feel after praying, is God returning? The Lord is returning your prayer to you. So you have to be kind. You have to try your best. You have to understand. You understand? Hey, the other people are not your wife. And there are things they don't have to face. Marry your secretary, you will understand that she too. When she enters, she goes, you're not going to work today. But I'm leaving you behind. She will start it too. Some men don't know all of these things. They will now abandon their wife. I'm going to marry the secretary. It's not the woman, it's the position. That seat has temptation. Which secretaries doesn't have temptation. Do you know why? Appraiser matter. Appraiser now, sack. You vex me like this. I write something, you will never promote you again. But in this one, you can't sack me till death do us part. That's why she has the boldness. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But anyway, women, we should also try. Are you getting my point? The man wants to feel like, amen. Let's just leave it there. Now, the point I'm making is that, so we ask the Lord. It's not our own strength. We ask the Lord, okay. I mean, the hearts don't beat because of anything. Not even exercise. Footballers have fallen on the pitches and died. I'm not joking. You know about it. Footballers. People are running marathon. They collapse there. They die. These are fit people. Fit people. You know, you don't know how fit those guys are. The day an athlete overtook me on the staircase in Luz, I stopped. I knew something was wrong. I was a fit young man climbing. Then I just heard ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta. I looked. It was Chioma Ajuma. I said, no wonder. You know Chioma Ajuma? I mean, the first Nigerian gold medalist. I stopped. What's going on? Then I saw. I said, oh, no wonder she won gold medal. If you saw that woman climb stairs, you go give her a second gold medal. Yet, people like her, they fall down and they die. There's nothing that shows that athletes live longer than normal people. Mama Dali finished fighting. Very fit young man. That's it. All his body shut down. For over 30 years, his body refused to work. People say it was punch. It's not punch. It was God to tell him, you are not the greatest. Shut up. He took the two things he had. His speed, his agility. That's one. And his mouth. You know, he used to talk plenty. Ali couldn't talk again. He couldn't talk anymore. He was too slow to make conversation. And his body couldn't move. God just told him, listen, you are not the greatest. So what I'm trying to say is that once anything in life, forget the physical thing. Your body is paining. You start with the discussion on God's word. My life is not an accident. I will not die a day earlier than the Lord has determined. And I will not die until I fulfill the purpose of God in my generation. That's the discussion we start with. The days of my life, they were all written in his book before there was yet any one of them. All these discussions are going on. You're talking about it. The Spirit of Christ is in me. It's giving life to my mortal body. God is healing everything that is wrong. This is the word of God you're lifting up. I believe in Christ. Christ is in me. That Spirit that raised him from the dead is here, giving life to my mortal body. I will not die. I will live. I will declare the counsel of God. I will show the faithfulness of God. If you talk like that for 2 days, you will forget to tell your wife what was wrong. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how you knock. That's what I'm going to say. That's the knocking process. You don't knock according to your desire. No. It's the rod we lift up and we knock. Let's rise to our feet. I've spoken much longer than I wanted to speak.
I want us to knock again. Like I said before, let's be careful what we talk about. Let's be very careful what we talk about. My friend Pastor Courage, he shared something with me the other day. So powerful. He lives in Sokoto. Then when he hears people from the south talk, he gets him angry. What do they discuss? They discuss what Islam is planning to do. He said, go and read the story of the scriptures in the book of Judges. Gideon, when he was going to be encouraged, he went and the people heard what Gideon was going to do and their hearts melted. God prepared them for defeat by discussing what Gideon would do to them. Why do you think they ran? The moment they heard noise, they said, hey, we knew it was coming. They ran. All these men did was to shout and broke pots, pitchers, they call them. Just like a jug, a clay jug. Just break it. That's all this guy's head. And everybody ran. Why? Their hearts have been prepared for defeat. Many of us, what do we do? We prepare our hearts for defeat every time. We discuss what Islam is going to do. One guy in my office, they was telling me how Islam will take over Europe, and I agreed with him and everything. He said, I'm afraid. I said, I'm not afraid. Just before I came here, he said, sir, I'm afraid though. I said, I am not afraid. He said, why not? I said, let's talk about communism. I said, this is how people used to be afraid of communism. I said, where are they now? He said, they are gone. I said, everything has its time to go. I said, I told him, I am not afraid. Fear is what brings evil upon us. There have been a lot of reasons to be afraid in recent times again in Nigeria. Plagues, forget the physical things you have seen. Something, what I mean is that, forget the common things people think about. But there are many things that happen that are almost frightening. All of these things designed to make me put my hands down. Today, we will not put our hands down.
Amen.
We will not put our hands down.
Amen.
We have asked God for favor for this land, and he will give us favor in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many of the things that are happening is him trying to prune things up that are preventing him from showing the favor and bringing forth the blessing. But we will not put our hands down.
Amen.
Let us declare over Nigeria, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
of the increase of his government,
of the increase of his government,
and of peace.
There shall be no end.
That's the word of God.
Yes.
Say from the north,
to the south,
from the east,
to the west,
of the increase of his government,
and of peace,
there shall be no end. Say that is the word of God over Nigeria. In the name of Jesus Christ. Another rod, he said, I am God, I make wars cease. So let's declare, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of
Jesus,
our God
is the God of heaven,
is the God of Nigeria.
He makes wars cease
to the end of the earth.
That's the rod. We have not said anything specific. Okay, let this fight stop. Let this one. Mm-mm. We just lifted his name. Declare, say in the name of Jesus.
Your name will be exalted
over Nigeria
in the name of Jesus.
There is a rod of God. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let's declare, say in the name of Jesus,
Nigeria is the Lord's
and the fullness thereof. Say,
he's God
over this nation.
His counsel over this nation will stand.
Let's read the scripture. Say, kiss the Son.
Lest
he be angry,
and you perish out of the way.
I want you to say that again. Say, kiss the Son.
Kiss Jesus Christ.
Otherwise, he will be angry,
and you will perish out of the way.
Say, according to that word,
we declare
every machination,
every arrangement
against the advance of the gospel
will be destroyed out of the way.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I told you that last time we were talking, MK Abiola was the most popular contestant for presidency Nigeria ever saw. And he said it himself. You sure you will win? He said, I have given to Nigerians. They will give back to me. And he wasn't joking about it. The man, you know, we will talk about principle of giving and giving and giving. Later on, we'll talk about the word of Christ. It's not just about giving. The man knew how to use it, but he didn't get there. Why? Because one day, he did not know what was pushing him. I believe it was God just said, this man, don't worry. Let me push it. He said, I will harden his heart. You know, that's what God said about Pharaoh. He went and joined himself to those who decided to make Nigeria a member of OIC. There was not one prophet then that God sent to them. And with the military men in Nigeria, MKO will sit down, defending the cause of Nigeria being in OIC. And for that reason, he never ruled Nigeria. When he came forth and said, I'm going to be president, some brethren said, we did not forget. We haven't forgotten. When you had the opportunity, this was what you did. They lifted up their voices and said, Lord, we cast down his star. And that was what happened. Listen, let's lift it over Nigeria again. Listen, let's not, people say that here, I don't know what's happening in this country. Is that what you are lifting up? You are lifting up fear. You are lifting up, the Bible says, don't call a conspiracy what these people call the conspiracy. This is the commandment. Neither fear you their fears. But we fear their fears. And we say we are believers. Believers are supposed to believe something. I choose to believe that Jesus is Lord over Nigeria. I lift up that rod, and when you say amen, you are agreeing with me, that anyone who does not kiss the Son, but plots against him, will perish out of the way.
Amen.
Say that every day. If you hear news, they are planning this, don't argue. Just say, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, or you perish out of the way. That if you don't kiss the Son, is the word of God. Why doesn't it work? We don't lift it up. If we lift it up, it will work every single time. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
From Northern Nigeria.
From Northern Nigeria.
To Southern Nigeria.
To Southern Nigeria.
From the East.
From the East.
To the West.
To the West.
In every inch of this country.
This
is the word of God.
This is the word of God.
Nigeria is the Lord's.
Nigeria is the Lord's.
And the fullness thereof.
Of the increase of his government,
and of peace,
there shall be no end.
Let's just declare God's word. Say, kiss the Son.
Say, in Nigeria.
Kiss the Son.
Say, the Son
is Christ Jesus.
Lest
he be angry,
and
you will perish out of the way. Say, he will perish out of the way.
He who does not kiss the Son.
Any king among the Gentiles,
that gathers against Christ,
will perish out of the way.
It is written,
when the Son is angry,
people perish out of the way.
That's the word of God. Lift it up every day. Don't sit down before any nonsense text about Fulani herdsmen. Are they not Sabians that the God sent against Job? When God is tired, he withdraws them again. You plead to God for mercy for the land. That's all. Don't be afraid of anybody that he has used. Nebuchadnezzar shouted, said, shut up. You are just a weapon of my wrath. And he was the king of Assyria. He said, the weapon of my wrath. What's all of this noise you are making? Listen, no one can lift up his hand and do that which God did not command. That's the rod of God over Nigeria. Don't be afraid. I told you before, the only problem, but let's pray. Because the only problem God has, just one, is the church that's not advancing. The church that is retreating. The church that's building walls. Any church that builds a wall around itself will collapse.
Amen.
That's the word of God. Because this is the word of God. It says Zion will be a city without walls. Once you build a wall, you collapse. Once you are building an international headquarters that is so big everybody can gather there, you collapse. There is nothing you want to build. The only thing that sustains the church is that they keep advancing.
Yes.
I was still listening to Ken Hagin today as I was driving from my office. I first listened to that message in 1991. He preached in 1988. And he said that, why did persecution come upon the church in Jerusalem? He said, because for many years after Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. He said, they were still in Jerusalem. They had built a wall around Jerusalem.
So God said, what do you do? He said, throw persecution into Jerusalem. And the church that was scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. He said, that was what I said you should do in the first place. The church that will be preserved is the one that is advancing. All those of you open your mouth and say, oh, the Christians did not should come to the south. Listen, if they come to the south, trouble will meet them in the south and drive them into the ocean. Safety for believers is in advancing. Jesus said, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? It was when they were out that they did not lack. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
When he gave that command, when he gave that word, say, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over every work of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It was not for Christians at home. It was for the apostles that he sent out. Let's pray. We need to make requests. Say, God, send out your church. It's very simple. Say, send us out.
Send us out.
Say, send us out.
Send us out.
Disturb our equilibrium.
Disturb our comfort.
Send us out.
Send us out.
Pray some more. Make all kinds of noise. Say, let the spirit of apostleship be poured again over the church in Nigeria, that they will not be afraid of what Islam will do. They will not be afraid of what politicians will do. Say, Lord, enough equilibrium. Say, Lord, collapse some churches. Close their doors. Send us out. Say, Lord, when we are raising money for projects that are meant to wall us in, don't give us money. But send all the money for advancement. If we open our mouths and say evangelism, let money come. If we say open our mouths and say missions, let money come. But if we sit down and say, hey, let's build more comfortable places and sit down more comfortably, Lord, dry up resources. Oh, I have a rod. I have a rod. Everyone, listen to this. Let's leave this rod upon the church of God in Nigeria. No, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. That's the word of the Lord. So let's leave that one. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord of the harvest.
Lord of the harvest.
Our Father.
Our Father.
We are asking you.
We are asking
send you. Us as laborers.
Send us as laborers.
Into your harvest field.
Into your harvest field.
Every Christian in Nigeria.
Go as a laborer.
Go as a laborer. Into his harvest.
Into his harvest.
Say, Father, mobilize us.
Father, mobilize us.
Into your harvest.
Into your harvest.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's a very good one. After now, churches will not sit down comfortably again. And nobody should open his mouth and call a missionary from the north and tell him, come back home. If you see a missionary in the north, ask him, what do you need? We are not allowed to love our lives, even unto death. I'm not saying I don't get those feelings also, those emotions, but you shut your mouth and obey the word of God. Next time you see a missionary in the north, say, what do you need? Don't say, when are you coming back home? Ask him, what do you need? Pray for him every day. Rise up at midnight. Say, Father, arm your angels. I mean, throw your passion to protect the man. Send him an offering. Pray for him. Pray for his work. Pray for his children. And say, come back to Abuja. Abuja is safer. One of our brothers said, safety is not the absence of danger. It's being in the presence of God. There's nowhere that's safer. There's nowhere that's safe. I told you the other day we were talking. A boy was sleeping at home. A bullet fell to the roof and killed him, hit him in the neck. He didn't go out. It was night. He was sleeping in a room in his father's house. Doors locked. There's nowhere that's safe. Nowhere. Some people would think America, you heard the one that happened yesterday? Some people were in the club, they were dancing. One guy who they crazed for head before. He just carried a gun. Shoot 50 people, kill them. Injure 53. People were in France doing party. Some people came, shot everybody and killed everybody. Where do you think they're safe? American president, they die. When American was going, surrounded by Secret Service agents, one boy came up, pointed the gun and shot him. Shot him to impress a girl who didn't know him. The only reason, and you know, they couldn't send the boy to anything because they said he was mentally unstable. So they sent him to prison, to mental home. You are not safe because you are protected by American secret agents. Therefore, Stonewall Jackson said, I am as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the center of the will of God.
Safety, the Bible says, is of the Lord. Let's declare again. Say, Father over Nigeria.
Father over Nigeria.
The gospel will advance.
The
word will increase.
It will grow mightily.
And it will prevail.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it again, over Nigeria.
Everybody
do like this. I see you are holding a rod like this, something like this. You know, Moses used two hands. So in your mind, you are carrying something. And in your mind, imagine that you are standing over a map of Nigeria. Now, what you are doing, you are lifting up the rod of God. Now, declare these words. You are looking down in your mind. You close your eyes, but in your mind, you are looking down at the floor as if you are standing over the map of the country. And in your hands is the rod of God, held on by two hands. Now, speak to that map. This is the rod. Say, of the increase of his government.
Of the increase of his government.
And of peace.
And of peace.
Over you.
Over you.
There shall be no end.
There shall be no end.
Let's leave on that road. Say, the church of God will advance.
The church of God will advance.
Built on truth.
Built on truth.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Over it. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, the gates of hell,
the gates of hell
shall not prevail over it.
Shall not prevail over it.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it again, of the increase of his government,
of the increase of his government
and of peace,
and of peace
over Nigeria,
over Nigeria,
there shall be no end. Father, in the name of Jesus, you will show mercy upon this land.
Amen.
We claim it again for you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, purge evil.
Amen.
Wipe out iniquity.
Amen.
But show mercy upon this land.
Amen.
We are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
So we will not be ashamed. No, we will not be ashamed.
Amen.
Nobody will laugh at us.
Amen.
We have trusted in you. We never trusted in the land.
Amen.
We trusted in you. But we say you will bring your mercy upon this land.
Amen.
For our sakes.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's lift up the rod again over our body. You can drop your hands now. Like I said earlier, let's just talk about the word of God. I will say something, just say amen to it. Are you getting my point? It's going to be like Jesus too. It won't sound prophetic, but it's prophetic. Do you know you have been healed?
Yes, amen.
Do you know with God there is nothing like an incurable sickness?
Amen.
You know your heart is not beating by chance.
Amen.
It's beating by the power of Christ.
Amen.
It won't stop suddenly.
Amen.
Because Christ is on the throne.
Amen.
It will not stop suddenly.
Amen.
Because Christ is on his throne.
Amen.
The same spirit that raised him from the dead is in you.
Amen.
It's giving life to your mortal body.
Amen.
One day, if Jesus does not come back, your heart will stop too. But before he does that, you will have lived a full life.
Amen.
You will have served the purpose of God in your generation.
Amen.
You will have done the will of God for your life.
Amen.
You will have fulfilled every scripture written about you.
Amen.
You will have fulfilled every scripture written about you.
Amen.
Every line of God's book will have been fulfilled.
Amen.
Before you go, you will have a vision of what tomorrow is like.
Amen.
God will say, tomorrow you are dining with me in heaven.
Amen.
You will look at your children and smile.
Amen.
And you will tap them, you say, be of good cheer, there's nothing wrong.
Amen.
That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your body is constantly being healed.
Amen.
Every affliction is constantly being removed.
Amen.
There are enemy bacteria out there, but they are inferior to you.
Amen.
Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
We're not praying, we're just talking. Are you getting my point? This is what you should do at home. Instead of analyzing what's wrong with NEPA. Why is anyone praying in the nation? What is Niger Delta Avenue? Let's look from above. You know, you can sit down there and be saying, look at that. Why is Joshua not fighting well? Forget Joshua. Say, Moses, where are your hands? Are you getting my point? That's the question. When you see Christians, I say, where are your hands? Say, what do you mean? Say, see them now. Say, no, that's not what I mean. Where are your hands? Take him to that book of Exodus chapter 17 and say, look at you. This is why your Joshua is losing the battle. Because your hands are condemning, criticizing, wishing evil, just running commentary. Your hand is not lifting anything up.
Yes.
Tell the person, let's lift something good up over your life. Tell the fellow, greater is he that is in you. Say, tell the, say amen. Let me help you out of this, your bondage. That's why you'll be giving offerings that don't count, trying to break bondage when your mouth is tying you every day. And I say, give an offering to break the bondage. Listen to me. You are a giver, amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about that briefly. You are a generous Christian, amen?
Amen.
You are like your Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
You are not afraid of tomorrow.
Amen.
You can give.
Amen.
You are a giver.
Amen.
You love people.
Amen.
You love the word of God.
Amen.
You love the work of God.
Amen.
You give to honor people.
Amen.
You give to help people.
Amen.
You give to show God gratitude.
Amen.
You are a giver.
Amen.
Uh-huh. That's the word of God over your life. But listen to this. You are not giving to get delivered. Next time they say, give an offering for deliverance. Sit down. Say, are you not giving an offering? Say, oh God, it's for those who are in bondage. I'm not in bondage. In Christ, you have been delivered.
Amen.
Let's talk about it briefly. Every curse in your life has been removed.
Amen.
It was nailed to his cross.
Amen.
Every handwriting against you has been wiped away.
Amen.
You have been forgiven of all your iniquities.
Amen.
Jesus died to ensure that.
Amen.
Yes, he died to ensure it. The Bible says he rose again to show to you he's been done. And now he lives ever to make intercession for you. If you draw near to God by him, he's praying for you. Am I talking to myself or talking to you?
Amen.
Let me hear your amen therefore.
Amen.
Jesus is on your side.
Amen.
Deliverance is with you.
Amen.
Bondage has been broken.
Amen.
Ancestral curse don't exist anymore.
Amen.
In your life, they don't exist.
Amen.
The thing that did not happen before in your family because of a curse, it will happen in your life.
Amen.
For example, breakthrough will happen in your life.
Amen.
Long life is happening in your life.
Amen.
Prosperity is happening in your life.
Amen.
Influence is happening in your life.
Amen.
You are a blessing to multitudes.
Amen.
You are not obscure.
Amen.
Why? Jesus died to set you free.
Amen.
You are not a slave anymore.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Health is your portion.
Amen.
Long life and prosperity.
Amen.
Look, as you are leaving this place today, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
Mercy will abide with you.
Amen.
No evil shall befall you,
amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
God will watch over you,
amen.
Carefully,
amen.
Affectionately,
amen.
Like the apple of his eyes.
Amen.
His angels will stand guard over you.
Amen.
No matter where you live, you will be safe.
Amen.
If your neighbor is a criminal, you will be safe.
Amen.
If the one on that side is a mafia don, you are still safe.
Amen.
Listen, safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God.
Amen.
That presence is with you. Be of good cheer. Our Jesus has overcome the world.
Amen.
Islam is not a threat to him.
Amen.
He is not afraid of them.
Amen.
He is king above all.
Amen.
If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
So let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We leave our old sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ.